Welcome to Listen in Wonder. Join us as we explore the wonder of who God is and who He has created us to be. Each week, we encourage you to pause, listen carefully for the voice of your perfect Father, and wait to hear whatever He says to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Well, I am so excited. That sounded so Texas, which is hilarious. I mean, with my guests I have here today. We are so grateful that it's Wednesday, that we get to hear another story today. I am beyond excited to introduce y'all to my friend, Rachel Chardet Brown.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. We met in Texas. She doesn't live in Texas anymore. I'm going to let her tell you that. But she is an author, a speaker, a podcaster. She is the real deal.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
So I'm so grateful that you're here. She flew all the way from Tacoma, guys.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
And I want y'all to look up her podcast called This Is in the Bible.
Yes, it's called This Is in the Bible. However,
how do you say it for real? Give me all the tone and give me all the sass.
Here's the thing. Throughout my years of reading the Bible, I've found myself literally being like, this is in the Bible? Like, I cannot believe this right here is in the Bible. So I have now just deemed my podcast of This Is in the Bible and all the crazy things that I found in the Bible that really have me saying that. But it's all the Lord and it's His word.
Well, I listened to your podcast before you moved to Washington and I listen to it now, and I love it that, and if I'm driving and your podcast comes on, I feel like you're in the car with me, and I can totally like see your face and your expressions and all the things. And so thank you for just the way that you inspire us to have more curiosity about God's word.
Man.
And in that, it begins to unpack for us who He is and who we are.
Absolutely.
Which is one reason why we wanted to extend Wonder Conference and tell some stories about listening to God's voice.
Yeah.
So with that being said, how would you like, what else do you want to tell our listeners about yourself? Because there's more than that.
Absolutely. I think, well, you said, you know, speaker, podcaster, author. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all the things. But I do all those things, I feel like, in the little free time I have, because I have a husband of 10 years. He's leading a church called Oasis that's actually going through a transition called The Cove. Like, it's
going to be called, name?
It's going to be called The Cove.
The Cove.
The Cove. Yeah, you see, it's very mysterious and like, ooh, what is that? Is it a cove? Is that a bar? Is that a club? Is that? No, it's a church. So it's called The Cove. It'll be that in January. So
you heard it here first.
You did hear it here first. Unless you were in Tacoma, you've been heard this. But, you know, here in Texas, you've heard it here first. We also have two kids, one named Apollos, who's 6 years old. His name means one who destroys. Mm. So that's a big, huge part of his identity, because he destroys a lot of things in our home, in our classroom, and all the things. Very, very, very high energy. And then we have our sweet, calm, little adopted Emery girl, who will be two in December.
Oh my goodness.
Which is crazy.
I cannot believe that.
Like, she's about to be two. But she's talking so much more. It's so sweet. But also, she's grown up with her older brother. So, like, she's a little rough. And she likes to hit people. And I'm like, Emery, you can't do that. But, yeah. I'm originally from St. Louis. So, Midwest girl. Definitely outcast down here in the South. But it was okay. My country swing kind of, like, fit in. But yeah, from St. Louis. We live in Tacoma, Washington, which is not Washington, D.C. It's literally the state
other
of
coast.
Washington. Other like
coast.
Way on the other side. We're in the corner of the country. But it's beautiful. It's green. Mm. It doesn't rain as much as everybody thinks it does. And if it does rain, it's like a mist. Mm. So it's like not bothering
just
you.
It's refreshing.
It's very refreshing. Kids get to go outside and play every day, and sun comes out every day. Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
You know, when I met you and you started telling me about Apollos name, meaning destroyer. I mean, I have two boys, so I know it. I get it.
Yes.
But because you and I have connected on more of a spiritual level, I know that
there's
he's going.
Yeah.
Yes. So for people who are like, unpack that
part.
Why
would you name your son the one who destroys?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you called it on yourself,
for
girl.
Real. No, absolutely. And I'd be like, oh, okay, Lord, this was you and me. Like, we all came together, me, you, and EJ. And EJ's my husband as well. He used to be on staff here at the
Yes.
U, but
EJ and I worked together, and I was very sad when he announced he was leaving, but also very excited.
Yeah, the Lord's doing the things for sure. So Apollos, we got the name obviously from the Bible. There is a man named Apollos in the Bible. And we looked up one
Wait,
who destroys.
This is in the Bible?
His name? This is in the Bible, yes. I like that you caught that. Yes, this is in the Bible. His name is in the Bible. Also, Emery's in there as well, but she's a man in the Bible. The name is a man. Let's say that she is not a man, but the name Emery is an actual man in the Bible. But anyway, so we thought that the Lord gave us this name, Apollos, as one who's going to destroy stereotypes, mm-hmm. the one who's going to destroy principalities, one who's going to destroy like the works of the devil. But mm-hmm. all of that is true post him giving his life to the Lord.
Yeah.
So right now he just be destroying whatever he sees. And like, you know, it could be like the football field. Like he's mm-hmm. playing up in football mm-hmm. now. He's playing with like 8 and 9 year olds.
My husband is going to be so proud.
I got to send you some videos because he's killing it, but he's only 6. And I'm like, y'all watch out for the baby. He's still 6, y'all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's going to destroy those things. But like after he give his life to the Lord, because mm-hmm. right now he's not really doing that.
I love mm-hmm. that. The truth is that the Lord has been speaking to you and EJ long before Apollos was born and given you vision for who he has called Apollos to be.
Yeah.
And then also trusted you that you are going to instill that in him, that you're going to teach mm-hmm. him all of the things that you're going to, you know, the Lord has seen all his days.
For real.
And you get front row seat.
Man, that part. Because I think for me, even with Emery as well, and both of our children, early on we had Apollos, it was like, Lord, you protect them more than we ever mm-hmm. can. Like, you love them more mm-hmm. than we ever will. Like, mm-hmm. you hold them close to your heart more than EJ and mm-hmm. I ever will. So, like, these yo kids... And they got a lot. I'm like, Lord, get Apollos. Lord, talk to your son. Talk to your daughter. Like, they got a hand. Like, I can't handle it. Like, you talk to them. But a big part of our family in general as the Browns, and something that we had implemented when I became pregnant with Apollos, was we were going to come up with a family mantra. Like, who are the Browns? Like, mm-hmm. what do we stand for? Like,
oh,
who are we?
Goodness,
like,
yes.
What is our identity mm-hmm. as a Brown family? And it's that we influence those around us with love, grace, mm-hmm. and truth. So now when Apollos is clowning at school, he comes home and we're like, Apollos, mm-hmm. so was it love when you interrupted your teacher?
Mm-hmm. Was it love,
class?
Grace, or truth? No,
you know,
don't get, he
period.
Might say.
Like,
yeah.
was it grace when you cut in front of somebody in line mm-hmm. and they wanted their spot back? Mm-hmm. Like, no, it wasn't.
And
like,
is he an age now where he can talk that
out
with
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. He mm-hmm. knows the mantra. Like, we still do so we stand as a family every morning mm-hmm. before EJ goes to work, before Apollos goes to school. We stand as a family in front of this canvas that has mm-hmm. our mantra on it. We say it as a family. We pray as a family. And even Emery now, like her little thing is, we love grace. And like her little part is truth. Oh. Like that's all she knows. So she's
beautiful.
She's learning truth. So like for sure, Apollos can recite it and we can go back and say like, Apollos, who are the Browns? Like, mm-hmm. who are you? Because mm-hmm. Love, grace, and truth is all Jesus. He just doesn't fully know that yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and I want to come to his defense a little bit.
Come on.
Because the first time that I met Emery, so mm-hmm. not quite 2 years ago, and I walked into your home, and I was so excited. She was so tiny. She was so tiny. And I walked into your home, and I got to hold her. You were like, you want to hold her? And I'm like, I wasn't going to ask, but since you offered,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
and I go to wash my hands and I go to sit down to hold Emery, and Apollos is right next to me. And he was like, you can't touch her face. Did you wash your hands? Like he starts saying all
yeah,
these things
play.
That I thought, well, y'all have established some rules with him, but he's making sure I know the rules.
He does not play
in protective, mm-hmm. in a protective posture of her. And that was within days of y'all bringing her home.
Yeah.
And so he is already mm-hmm. like starting to show fruit of his name.
No, I agree. I'll give him that. All right, Apollos.
Yeah. And you know, he's 6, so he's going to destroy a lot more things before he fully walks in his identity.
That part.
But what an opportunity to also teach him about the love, grace, and truth that God has for him
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
on any day.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a young mom, only the way the Holy Spirit can do in a moment where I thought I'm about to pull all of my hair out.
Yeah.
being able to make eye contact with one of my kids and to tell them how much I loved them, mm-hmm. despite of whatever choice they had made in that yeah. moment. And it's a beautiful thing as a parent to have the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. But without the Spirit, I don't think we really meet like, that moment.
Yeah, a big thing Apollos, or EJ and I try to tell Apollos, because Emery don't know at this point. But like a big thing we tell him, like, Apollos, we're teaching you to listen to us so you know how to listen to the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. you know how to be obedient when the Lord tells you to do something. Mm-hmm. It's not just this defiant of like, oh, authority told me to do something. I'm not going to mm-hmm. do it. Like, no, mm-hmm. like listen to us and practice with us. Mm-hmm. So when the Lord is calling you to do something or pray mm-hmm. for somebody or share the gospel, mm-hmm. like you're not in this defiant mode. You're actually ready to be obedient.
Yeah. Yeah. So with each one of our kids, you know how it's like, oh, well, the oldest will sometimes feel like you expect too much of me mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. the younger ones don't have to do what I had to do or whatever it is, just based on birth order. I used to tell them when they were in elementary school, don't come talk to me about your birth order. The Lord decided that. So, that's between you and him. Right, that's between you and the Lord. But he called you to be the firstborn yeah. or he called you to be the baby of the mm-hmm. family, you know what mm-hmm. he has been a part of all of this from the beginning. There are no mistakes that yeah. Apollos is the oldest. Emery yeah. is the youngest right now. Mm-hmm. So it's sweet to be able to speak those kind of truths into your kids yeah. too. Well, goodness, we could talk for a long time about parenting and how the Lord has walked us through all of that. But we are here because we were wanting to encourage women to tune their ears to listen to God's voice. Yeah. And I knew mm-hmm. that you would be a great person to just share some of the ways that you have yeah. heard God's voice.
Man, I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. I can tell you one where I thought I heard the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I guess not. So I was working at a preschool, and there was this girl there who was adopted. Mm-hmm. She was African-American. Her parents were Caucasian. And she did not know, like, as she shouldn't have, because she was a baby. And, like, that's all she known. Mm-hmm. These were her parents. And every day she would come and, like, run up to them, mommy, daddy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, that's so cool. Like, she doesn't mm-hmm. really know that these, mm-hmm. like, aren't her biological yeah. parents. But praise God that, like, she has parents and, like, mm-hmm. she loves her parents and their parents love her and whoop-de-whoop. So I remember just like driving home one day and I'm like, Lord, why do I keep thinking about this girl? Like, why does she keep coming up? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, the Lord is like, because your next child is going to be an adopted girl. And I was like, okay, now, Lord, let's talk about this. Because before we had got married, you know, I grew up as a tomboy, me and my brother and all of his friends. So, like, I've never wanted girls. Like, I've always, like, we settled. If we're going to have five kids, they're going to be five boys. Oh, like, yeah. If we don't have a lot of kids, they're going to be all boys. So where are you coming from?
As if we can control all the things. And
of course. Yes. Of course. But here's the thing. EJ comes from a family of like all boys. Like yeah. I think out of his 30 cousins, there's like two girls.
This is what we have in common because exactly. Ryan's family is the same way. All yes. boys, all boy cousins on the mom's side, all boy cousins boys. On the...
Everywhere.
And then the first two grandkids are boys. Like okay. all that.
So it was working in my favor that if we were going to do this, I was with the white run. I was with the right one to get the boys. So that's what I'm saying.
There were other things that you loved about EJ
yes,
too.
But he yes. was already coming from a boy family. So it was going to work out for me. So I hear the Lord say this and I'm like, okay, I think that I don't know about that one, Lord, but maybe that's just me. Cause I'm just thinking about her, whatever. So I go home and tell EJ, I'm like, hey, I think the Lord is wanting us to adopt a girl. And he was like, I know we talked about adoption, but like, that's like years from now. And I was like, okay,
cool.
Fine with me. Cause I didn't want to do it no way. So literally 2 years goes by, like two full years go by. And, Pastor Rick is like sharing the vision for asking yeah. for nations and generations. And at the time EJ's at a different service. I had already come to an earlier service and went home. So EJ's hearing the vision and here's the Lord be like, you are going to be one of the families that adopt here at the Hills.
Yeah, the vision goal that says something along the lines of we're going to support as 25
yep.
families mm-hmm. adopt. Mm-hmm. And then also there's respite workers mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is a part of that goal
yep.
too. But
so he was like,
clearly 25.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And he was like, you're going to be one of those families. So EJ, boohoo crying because he's now like hearing the Lord. He's driving home, crying because he's like, Lord, this, like, I feel that this is really you telling me to do this. Mm-hmm. So he comes home. He's like, yeah, Rachel, so I feel like the Lord told me that we're going to adopt a girl next. And I said, oh, okay.
You thought, like, there was a statute of limitation.
You know, I mean, I'm not, that part. I was hoping so. But to be honest, though, Barbara, like, the Lord had to take those 2 years of my life that I was like, girl, what I look like a girl mom. Like, I don't know nothing about makeup. I don't know. I don't want the color pink. Like, I wear all black. Like, I don't want nothing to do with this girly life. Like, I played basketball and I was in the garden with my dad. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want anything mm-hmm. to do with girl stuff. So, but it took for those 2 years of like the Lord telling me so many years ago to almost like mend my heart and started like mm-hmm. breaking my heart for having a girl, even like breaking like this softness in me mm-hmm. that when EJ came home about it, I was like, you know, I mentioned this 2 years ago and you said no, but I'm glad you did. Cause the Lord had to do something within mm-hmm. me, for me to be on board.
That is the sweetest thing, Rachel.
For real.
Because if we truly believe what we say we believe, mm-hmm. you know, that he knows everything about us. He knows when we will be born. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Yep. He knows the gifts and talents he's put in us with intention as our creator. Mm-hmm. Of course he knows what is the on-ramp that Rachel needs.
Man, what? A whole 2 years? And I needed every minute of it. But that's so true. That's so true.
And so fast forward, like, you guys, from the time EJ came home and said.
Okay, so let's talk timeline.
Yeah, please.
So we started our adoption process for Emery in March of 2022. EJ's dad had already passed mm-hmm. that January. Mm-hmm. And my dad ends up passing in the following May. Mm-hmm. So like months after we even start the process, timeline is taking all day because we're just like, but we're grieving our fathers mm-hmm. who are now going to never meet our daughter. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. we're just taking our time. And then we end up adopting her in December. So that whole session was crazy within itself. But to know that like we started the adoption, potentially the time when Emery was conceived mm-hmm. and had been praying mm-hmm. for her, knew her by name, wow. was praying for her biological parents, literally all until the day we mm-hmm. found out that we were bringing her home.
Beautiful.
So,
well, and Rachel, I'm thinking about when your dad passed. Mm-hmm. So prior to that, you both have heard, you and EJ have both heard from the Lord, like mm-hmm. that you knew he was asking you to bring this baby girl into your home. So mm-hmm. there is some dialogue with you and the Lord. Also, when you told me about your dad, about the last time that you got to spend with your dad, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was so much hearing the Lord's voice, but you definitely had a prompting.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That mm-hmm. I need to spend time with
man.
Him.
Say, man, Barbara, I wouldn't even think about that, but since we're here. So yes. So there was a hard conversation that my dad and I needed to have. And EJ and I had been planning to go back home to St. Louis mm-hmm. to have this hard conversation with my dad. It just like, you know, how I grew up, things that he used to say to me, things that, you know, post or pre-Jesus dad, mm-hmm. I would say. Because mm-hmm. My dad gave his life to the Lord when I was an adult. So things from my childhood that I was like, yo, I probably need some healing from this. Mm-hmm. Probably need some closure about some things and some explanations about some things. And we were planning to go in April and have this conversation. Now, one day, randomly, I get a phone call. Hey, we're going to be at your house. Mm-hmm. In 2 hours. I'm like, wait, how? We just drove. So you telling me it takes 10 hours to drive
from St. Louis. You waited 8 hours into the drive to call me.
That part. So I was like, y'all had 8 hours to tell me y'all was coming, but okay. So he's like, and I got my boat. Cause my dad is a really, really big fisherman, like really, really big. He used to be in like tournaments and stuff. So brought the boat. So it comes down. And thankfully, the week before, I had started writing a letter to my dad. So I even knew what I wanted to say or even like the format of what I wanted to say.
That's out of obedience, too, right? Obedience. Like but you even, have been talking to the Lord about this relationship. You have been talking to the Lord about the healing that you need. The Lord is telling you mm-hmm. in some way, hey, start preparing. You were obedient to that preparation.
No, because even to say, Barbara, like I was in therapy and I had got the assignment to write my dad, I want to say maybe in November or December. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too much. I can't do it. And literally the week after I start this letter, they show up at my front door. And I was like, wow, Lord. Okay, well, so I hear hard conversations are easier done in the car. So I was like, I feel like the Lord is telling me to go fishing with my dad. Like, I know he came all the way down here. I can take off work tomorrow. Like, he can leave his extra crazy dog at home, because they did have an extra crazy dog at the time. And he can stay here at the house, and I'm going to go fishing with my dad. And come to find out that the, I think it's called the American Lake. No, I don't know what it's called, but it's basically the best lake in America. Like, they just had like this huge bass tournament there. Like, maybe
who
like
knew?
A month
Somebody
previous.
Knows. Somebody knows my that's around knew here. That's, your dad knew.
He absolutely knew. That's why he brought his boat. And it was only like 2 hours away. So I was like, Dad, that's 2 hours. In my mind, I'm like, okay, I got 2 hours to have this hard conversation with him. Then we can be on this boat and fish, and he can have fun. And I'll just probably sit there and eat sandwiches, and we have 2 hours back. So I start this trip with him and end up having no type of conversation on the way there. But there was like this time on the fishing trip that I was like, okay, Lord, this is the time to do this conversation. And from it, it was like, you know, Rachel, like, I never had this when I was a kid, and I never had that when I was a kid. And this is why I treated you and your brother so like harshly, because I was treated so harshly and blah, blah, blah. It just gave me so much more closure and understanding of my dad that I was like, wow, like, this conversation was more for him than it was for me. Like, he was crying. I was like, Dad, I think I've maybe seen you cry maybe twice in my life. But I think if I never, so when my dad passes away literally a month later, or maybe 2 months later, I think about, like, what if I never went on this trip with him? Like, what if I never said, you know what, I'm going to take off work tomorrow. I think the Lord is telling me to go fishing. And, like, what if I never had those conversations with him? Or what if I never got that closure or that the understanding from him? And it's definitely the Lord's kindness to be, like, to prompt me to be, like, yo, Rachel, take, you got time off. Just go.
What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift. Because I'm imagining as you're sitting there with him that it's quiet. There's no there's no noise.
And it's in a place where he's discarded, like disarmed. Yeah. Like, he's at a happy
place. But he's also comfortable.
Yeah, he's comfortable.
Because he loves fishing. Exactly. He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
And you just think how beautiful. Like, the Lord does more than we could ask or imagine. But he is inviting us into it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And so just to think now that you lost your dad at way too young of an age, but what a beautiful memory that you can go back to anytime.
I absolutely believe it. Yeah.
I mean,
I think and I always talk about, like, my last memory with my dad is sitting on the best lake of America, like fishing the best lake of America with my dad, getting this closure that I never knew I needed, or having this conversation with him that I knew I didn't need, that I knew I needed, but didn't know how I was going to get it. Like, we were just planning on just, all right, maybe I'll just go and sit him down at the kitchen table. But, like, the Lord knew so much better to be like, no, take him on the lake.
Yeah.
Where he's disarmed and open and jovial, and he's excited and have the conversation.
And until the Lord calls us all home, we are not going to fully understand how his spirit in you is working.
Yeah.
His spirit is in your dad working and prompting and pursuing to that calm place on the lake.
Yeah.
But both of you hearing his voice or hearing being obedient to his promptings end up in such a healing, beautiful, amazing place.
Yeah.
And like you said, initially, like, this is for my healing. And yes, the Lord used that to heal you.
Yeah.
But also that he's using it for your dad's healing.
Yep.
It's just incredible. And I think that is why this conversation is so important.
Yep.
And why I wanted you to just to be with us as a part of what we're doing these few weeks after Wonder. I do want to ask you, before I ask you the last question.
Okay, come on.
Like, what is there anything else that you want to share with us about hearing God's voice?
Yeah, I recently was reading a plan about, like, hearing God's voice. And as we've gone through the plan, because I was doing it with one of the ladies in Washington, And the lady who was leading it, she just kept saying, like, but are you going to be obedient? Like, let's not even talk about the Lord's voice if you're not even going to be obedient to it. And I was like, whoa, that is so true. Of like, yes, the Lord could be speaking to you left and right, but are you even going to adhere to what he's saying?
Wow.
Like, let's address that before we seek to hear his voice and want to hear his voice so bad. But it's like, but do you have the heart posture to be obedient to what he says? So let's address that first. And I thought that was very just mind blowing for me of like, man, we could seek his voice and we can hunger after hearing him. And Lord, we want more of you. We want more of you. But are we going to be obedient when he actually speaks to us or when to what he says?
Like, are we going to fear him when he says something? Which it's so fitting that Julia Evans is in the room right now because Julia, you know, Julia, y'all go back, but she taught on a Wednesday night last spring from Psalms and really unpacked the definition of fear of the Lord to be a reverent awe and wonder of who he is. And so am I wanting to hear his voice so I can say I heard his voice?
Right.
Am I wanting to hear his voice because this is what I want him to say? Or do I want to hear his voice because I'm going to sit in that reverent awe and wonder, and then I'm going to do what he says, even when it doesn't. You didn't really want to go on that 2-hour drive, then fish, then 2 hours. That's not how Rachel Sharday Brown would have planned
it. Right, right, right. No, agreed.
So I love that your mentor had the wisdom to ask that. That's a great question before we even ask, can we hear his voice?
Yeah.
Is my heart in a posture to listen?
Yeah.
And am I going to be obedient? And man, what a ride it is when you do.
Yeah, man, what? We got a whole daughter because of it.
And she's beautiful. Love my daughter.
No, I joke around and say she's the daughter I never wished for. But I mean, I'm so glad we have her.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, we have that in common too. We have a daughter we didn't know we would have. And just when you trust the Lord. You really are in a posture for that listening and that obedience, but it's a daily choice and it's hard. Well, Rachel, how would you, I just want to close every single week with describe to me what descriptor words would you use to hearing God's voice? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What, you know?
I think the first word that comes to me is still. Like there's not a confusion in what the Lord is telling us to do. Because he knows, like he knows the future. He knows our past. He knows the present. I was recently speaking with someone about how they are, about to take this huge leap of faith. And I'm just like, the Lord is not surprised by it though. Like he knows what's on the other side of it. And if he's called you to it, it's not a, okay, now if you do this though, this may happen. Like the Lord is saying on the other side of this, this is going to be there. If you just be obedient, you listen to what I'm telling you. I would say it's consistent with his word. It's very consistent with his word. Like it's not going to contradict what the word of the Lord says. And I would also say he's a gentleman. So it's going to be gentle. It's not going to be a demand. The Lord is very kind in the fact that he's gentle with us. He's not a putting a gun to anybody's head saying you better do this or else. If anything, he gives us two choices and he's like, but I love you regardless, but I hope you choose me and I'll be here when you do choose me. And I can appreciate the gentleness of his voice.
I love that. The first word you said was still, which I think is so beautiful after we've heard your story today. and so I want everybody listening to just close their eyes and picture themselves on that lake with their father, and that he desires to be in a still place with you. And Rachel, will you pray for our listeners as we sit in that still place?
Man, Lord, we just first sit in the stillness. We acknowledge your presence, God. Father, we thank you that despite the wind and the waves, the uncertainties of life, God, that you are still, that you are consistent, that you are constant, that you are kind, God. Mm-hmm. The Father, you are as faint as a whisper, but also as dominant as a shout, Father. But I thank you that you cover us, that you desire to speak to us. Mm-hmm. You desire a relationship with us. You desire a dialogue with us. But I thank you that you are with us constantly. May we constantly be aware of your presence. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, that you commune with us, that there is a conversation that you want to have with us, mm-hmm. that we must be still to listen, that we not be too busy mm-hmm. to stop and acknowledge you.
That's right.
Lord, we just thank you that anyone under the sound of my voice, Father, will be able to acknowledge you and call you King, call you Father, and sit before you and glean from your knowledge, glean from your wisdom, Lord, glean from your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.